Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, when you use promo code DNVR, you'll get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday or next Sunday or any day the NFL plays, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I am Patrick Lyons.
And live from Southern California, I'm Susie Hunter. What a day this has been. Who would have thought that the Rockies were the one Colorado team that would win today?
That's pretty surprising, considering they're playing the Dodgers, considering how the previous two games went on Friday and Saturday. Rockies were going into Sunday's game on a 7-game losing streak, 44 games back of the Dodgers. But now they are even closer to the first place Dodgers. Checks notes still eliminated from all postseason play through 2024. I don't know if that's exactly official. That's more of a prediction than anything. But yeah, big 4-1 win. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about your time in Los Angeles. Susie, we're going to see if maybe you've met that Mario Lopez, B-level type star, or maybe a collection, a clutch of C-level stars, perhaps. I messaged you, MGK, Machine Gun Kelly. You are going to see him somewhere. We'll find out later on if that
is
actually
performing. I guess I gave it away. No, I haven't seen him.
No, I just get the sense for that. There could be a surprise starter on Wednesday on game 162, the final game of the season. It's supposed to be Chad Kuhl and Clayton Kershaw again, but I don't know that it will be. Let's start off with Sunday's win. 4-1. It was a pretty complete victory outside of an error by Michael Tolia and a couple jams. That's going to happen with guys on base. It was a perfectly clean game. You even ended up getting a couple runs there in the ninth to give Daniel Bard even further of a cushion. Was that probably one of the better games you've seen them play, at least in recent memory? How about even all year?
Yeah, that was definitely, I mean, it definitely felt a little better because it was coming on such a rough stretch that these Rockies have been in, but it was just a good team win. And Buddy even said that post game, you know, it was so needed. It was so needed.
Yeah, very much a team win. You got three innings out of the bullpen. We'll get to the piece of history that went down in the eighth and the ninth, which was amazing. But our DraftKings Sportsbook king of the game is Edmen Marquez. Final start of the season. He kind of did what Kyle Freeland did on Saturday night. And again, we'll talk about that in just putting his best foot forward, had a season high, 8 strikeouts, 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 run, 3 walks. I mean, dare I say, he was pretty dominant, had 5 strikeouts, I think, in the first 2 innings, and really, you know, kept the Dodgers hitters off balance all day.
Yeah, for sure. It was so huge. And after the game, Marquez said, you know, this was a huge game for him. He has just been struggling so much this season, but he really never gave up. He really emphasized that he has never given up on this season, but he, you know, kind of echoed that next year is going to be amazing for him. So, you know, just great to see him out there. Also, Tyler Anderson had a season high strikeout count too. I believe he tied his career high.
I believe that's right. Yeah, yes. He had 10 Ks, finishes his season 15-5, 2.57 ERA. Tyler Anderson, because when you leave the Rockies, you just magically become better. There's no explanation. Also, it does help if you go to an organization that is really good with player development, even when they're already big leaguers. They can continue. You can actually get better, believe it or not, even after you've been in the major leagues for a couple years. At least, again, that's what
happens. You know what? People never stop growing. People never stop developing. Love this personal growth journey all the Dodgers are on. Let's get some of our own.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it any better. He gives up the one home run to Brendan Rodgers there early on in the first inning. Mm-hmm. And the Rockies don't look back. Like, they were never not leading this game. They got another run there in the third, 2-0 lead. Yet Marquez did give up a run, so then it was 2-1. But they didn't lose this lead at all. It helps when you're only giving up 3 hits, 3 walks by Marquez. Mm-hmm. But still, overall, just one of those really just solid games, you know, from top to bottom. Ezekiel Tovar got his first career RBI, and he also got his first highlight reel play. Made 2 really good plays, but the one backhand, basically in left field. I mean, he's in shallow left field. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a ball, you know, in play or played on quite like that before. That was pretty remarkable.
It was pretty special for sure. So yeah, we definitely got a taste of like the peak Ezekiel Tovar that we're going to see coming up. So it was nice to see. Definitely highlight reel worthy material.
Did you notice in the Dodgers press box, if there were some Dodgers people's, you know, kind of looking at each other in the corner of their eye, like, okay, all right, this kid, Rockies might have something here. That wasn't bad. Did they give any of those kind of plaudits?
I think I saw someone making a phone call to acquire him actually. So
making that call, 1-800-BILL-SCHMIDT. That's usually going to get it done. Or Mr. GM Man, as again, his baseball reference page refers to him as. We talked about Marquez being integral in this game. And then Daniel Bard comes in. Yeah, we haven't seen a pitch in quite some time. Comes in the eighth. Were you okay with that decision? And this is going to tie in with a decision that went down on Saturday. Was that the option? Like, screw it. You need to go Mariano Rivera style save on this. Come in the eighth. We're gonna live or die in a 2-run ball game with Daniel Bard. I was 100% on board with this. Sit, you're in the same boat on that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we saw him go in the eighth and we're like, all right, I guess we're really not taking any risks with this lead here. But, you know, the plan today was to have Daniel Bard pitching no matter what, because he hasn't pitched in about a week. You know, we haven't seen him on the mound. So that was always the plan, to get him in. And then Buddy said, yeah, he was totally fine with going in the eighth. So we got 2 innings out of Bard.
It was fantastic. Yeah, the eighth, gives up a hit and an error, and then strikes out the next 3 hitters that he faces, not just any 3 hitters, and not just 3 hitters from the Dodgers, which already is better than most. Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith. Wow. Shuts the door right there. That was huge. Comes back out in the ninth. Does it again. That was a 1-2-3 inning. And in the process, according to Elias Sports Bureau, Daniel Bard, what you witnessed, we witnessed something on Saturday that we'll get to. That's only the third time you would have ever seen that in baseball. It's a little skewed. You'll find out why. But okay, we're talking about since 1969, when the save became an official statistic, Daniel Bard becomes the 5th pitcher to have 2 or more scoreless innings with 6 or more outs, all coming via the strikeout. So they all have to be outs. Not just, hey, I went three or four innings and I struck out six. No, you struck out everyone. You have Mark Littell, who did it with the Cardinals in 1978. Rob Dibble, who was part of the Nasty Boys.
Rob Dibble, my boy.
That's a great...
My Connecticut dude.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the Connecticut connection. I've long thought that the Rockies should steal the Nasty Boy nickname back and just Chuck Nasty, Charlie Blackman, and anybody on the team with a beard. They are immediately just part of the new era Nasty Boys. I'm down for that. You also had Oogie Urbina, who, yes, Susie, I know you're going to ask, does he have a middle name that starts with the U? Yes, I believe his middle name is Utah, and he does have a brother with the initials UUU. He did that with the Expos in 1998. And then more recently, in 2018 with the Brewers, Josh Hader did it. He did it in 2 2/3, so he struck out all eight of the hitters that he faced. But that is incredibly rare. I'd love to know who those guys did it against, because good chance it's not against, you know, probably will be 110-plus win team in the LA Dodgers, best record in all of baseball. That's who Daniel Barr did his damage against. Unbelievable.
And that makes it even more impressive. And it makes you happy to see that we're going to have him for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It helps secure games for guys, because as we're going to talk about with Saturday night's game, Kyle Freeland deserved to win, the statistic win, and didn't get it through no fault of his own. And he's going to end his season with 9 wins. Again, not a big deal. He already has a contract that's going to pay him out well here going forward. So he's not going to arbitration where those things matter. But, you know, you'd like to, you know, when you go at the end of the season and you're doing all those fun statistical analyses and fun facts and say, hey, how many guys have had 10 or more win seasons in the Rockies? Well, this is one in which Kyle Freeland will not be on that list. And so he might end with 3 or 4. When maybe he should have 4 or 5, because he didn't get that one singular win because of the bullpen. And so, you know, those things can happen, unfortunately, but not the case with the big 4-1 victory. Rockies clinch not having sole possession of the second worst record in franchise history. So they're tied. They're tied with 2 other seasons with 66 wins. But
well,
they don't have sole
well said, a very valuable stat, Patrick.
Look, it's valuable to some people that, you know, maybe live on the corner of 20th and in Blake, and they think it's very important to not lose 100 games and things like this. But I think, yeah, you and I know, and everyone listening to this, that that's just a fancy way of saying this was a really, really bad season. Michael Toley had 2 hits today. Sean Bouchard continues to do it.
Sean Bouchard has an 11 game on base streak.
He is just unbelievable. I don't know if we, you know, should spell his name with 2 B's because he draws all the walks, right? Based on balls. Mm-hmm. Or if it should be Sean Bouchard with the number 2 in front of Bouchard because he's hitting all of these doubles. I'm glad you brought that up, because he had a walk streak. I think that went 8 games, right? In a row. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty darn rare. He ends up finishing the month of September, which we know it's October 1st, believe it or not, but start, you know, from Saturday, from Friday through the beginning of September, he got called up on August 30th, but he ended September, Susie, this is the fact that I'm going to try to sort of blow your brains with, 508 on base percentage in the month of September. So more than half the time he was on base. Only one player in all of baseball was better than him in the month of September. Who was it? Aaron Judge.
Oh my gosh.
So we're talking Aaron Judge, numero uno, numero dos, Sean Bouchard.
Okay. We're going to have to ask him about this tomorrow, because that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
I love hearing Sean Bouchard and Aaron Judge in the same conversation.
Yes. Look, whether this is the first and only time doesn't matter, because we are living in that world in which you can continue to share that at the water cooler or down the corner of Colfax, New York. No, we're not there yet.
No.
But so this is actually just this 18th. It's a false alarm there. It was a balk. It was a fake move. That's it. I just stepped off. I disengaged from the rubber. 18th time in Rockies history that a player has had a .500 on base percentage or better, and actually becomes the 8th player in franchise history to have an on-base percentage of .500 or greater in a single month. This is an amazing list. Todd Helton did it 7 times. Larry Walker did it 5 times. Jason Giambi, Jeffrey Hammonds, DJ LeMahieu, Ian Stewart, who did it as a rookie. Bouchard also did it as a rookie, so he's only the second rookie to do that. And a guy who was the 25th man on the bench, admittedly so. He was a guy who they don't have this job for anymore. He's like Lenny Harris. He was like John Vanderwall. He just came up off the bench, and you just use him to pinch hit Mark Sweeney. So congratulations to Sean Bouchard. He's been absolutely fantastic.
He really has been such a great. I'm so glad he's back up with the Rockies.
All right, Susie, remind me in 2 minutes and 15 seconds the question that you asked me earlier today, because I believe I have the answer. Do you remember the question you asked me?
I do remember.
And someone else made the exact same bad joke.
Yeah, everyone was
making it really the exact same joke that Connor Joe was the punchline. And mm-hmm. So it's the opposite of Connor Joe. You're going, what is the opposite of Connor Joe? You have to wait around for that. But that's ask me that question. Because I wrote it down somewhere, and I'm going to be able to remember it.
Okay,
because there's a remember it.
Okay, sounds good. I'll set my timer.
All right, start the clock. But look, you do not have to feel rushed on the corner of Colfax and York at the DNVR bar where we've got Broncos games. Hey, Thursday, if you can't get a ticket and if you can't go to the tailgate, which if you are a member to the DNVR, now only 50 cents for your first month. If you can't get a ticket to that tailgate, which you can buy over at dnvrlocker.com, you can still hang out at the DNVR bar, where if you're a member, you get 15% off your entire tab. So if you're popping bottles or you're buying drinks for people and you're celebrating a big win on Thursday over the Colts, well, you're getting 15% off of that tab, access to the members only Discord so you can meet other folks in our community. It's absolutely fantastic. It's the DNVR.com. It's my favorite website. Also, second favorite, they're on that list, and they do their own thing, so they're actually my favorite in many ways. It's DraftKings Sportsbook. NFL action, we know, is in full swings. They're the official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdown, big plays, even bigger wins, and right now, a $5 bet on any NFL team is going to win you $200 in free bets when they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up, same game parlays right now. What that means is every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. Yes, seriously, it's that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet for week 5 now going ahead, depending on when you're listening to this. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See link in the description for details. I got the Broncos on Thursday despite the loss to the Raiders. They are home. They're only giving 2.5 right now to the Colts, and I like it because it's only -110 right there. So I like that much better than just going straight up on the money line. Take that spread, -110, DraftKings Sportsbook, pick of the week. Denver Broncos over the Indianapolis Colts. How did I do on that time? I hope I was exactly 2 minutes, 15 seconds.
I feel like my you were so great. I was actually composing a tweet the whole time that you were doing that. So
I really thought you were setting a timer. All right. So what was your question?
I mean, I was holding my phone. I was very clearly holding my phone.
Great. Okay, so Patrick. Great acting.
I mean, I'm in LA. This is really bringing out the performer in me for sure.
Clearly.
Patrick, the question I asked you during the game, who in Rockies history has the longest last name? Do you have an answer?
I do. So this was, of course, prompted by Simeon Woods Richardson, which is a hyphenated name. I guess he had just made his debut with Minnesota. He's been around for a minute because I know he was a Mets prospect that went over to Toronto, I believe, in the Marcus Stroman trade. And then he went from Toronto to Minnesota. That would probably have been from the Jose Berrios trade, if I had to guess. So he made his debut, and it looked like a damn near circle on his back because of the letters and the spacing.
And so very reminiscent of Saltalamacchia, one of my favorite jerseys, but he's now the longest name in Major League history. He has more letters than Saltalamacchia.
So how many letters was that? Like 15?
Yes, 16?
15.
15 letters.
Nice.
That's a lot of letters.
It's hyphenated. So Saltalamacchia still has the longest unhyphenated record. See, we can throw those qualifiers in, right? And make it sound
good. You know what? I'm happy that Saltalamacchia gets to keep this honor.
He does, right? He doesn't need the little dash in his jersey. So started off, looked at the list of every single Rockies player, nearly went blind in doing so. Found, you know, Julian Fernandez, right, was on the team last year. And you go, all right, that's a good start. He's got 9 letters. So does Jordan Patterson, Clayton Mortensen, Andres Galarraga all have 9. Mm-hmm. But we advance up to the tens. Angel Echeverria, Brooks Kieschnick, Robert Stevenson recently. And if you remember what his vest looked like, that arc.
Yeah, that's right. That is a sneaky long last name. He did have an arc.
Troy Tulowitzki, Rafael Betancourt, Kevin Kuzmanoff, who's related to somebody in our company. We'll talk off air about that. And of course, Ryan Spielborgs have 10 letters in their last name.
Ooh.
How high do you think, what is the number one answer? The longest name? And I could be wrong. I feel like there's a 96% chance I did not miss a name. So I could be wrong here, but what's your final number? How high do you think it goes?
I want to guess 12 letters.
Okay. All right. With 11 letters. And again, there may be one or two other ones that I'm missing here, but 11, Scott Fredrickson, Kent Bottenfeld, Mario Encarnacion, and from the 2007 World Series club, we're celebrating. It's the 15th anniversary of Rocktober. We're going to be talking about that a lot this month, Susie. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
We got a lot of ground to cover once these games end. Yeah,
we
got to talk about beating the Diamondbacks and not so much about with the Red Sox series. But still, we got to celebrate the 15th anniversary because if we don't do it, not many other people will.
Who will?
Omar Quintanilla had 11. Mm-hmm. Now, if you count spaces, Valeria De Los Santos would be 12. He said 12 characters, but not 12 letters. Mm-hmm. You know what? We don't have to live in that world where there's an asterisk because the answer should be 13, Mr. Todd Hollinsworth.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, of course.
I'm out of breath from that. Todd Hollinsworth. There we go. So that's the City Connect jersey you want to get. You know what? Susie, we already decided if you have a black vest with Ezekiel Tovar's number, I just drew a blank. What's his number? I already forgot what his number is. 14?
14. It's 14. Yes, it's
okay.
14.
Right.
It's
14. I don't 14. Know why.
I don't,
he would look great with 11. I want him to have 11. I want him to have Iglesias' 11, as I think the 11 looks sharp on a shortstop. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he'll switch. But all right, so Tovar is 14. If you got a black vest, Susie will buy you a beer at the DNVR bar. How about this, Susie? If you have a Rocky City Connect Hollinsworth jersey, I will now buy you a beer at the bar. Let's
okay,
go.
I love this. I'm glad I'm not the Bears only one fair. Buying people beer. You have this on the record, folks. If you come in wearing these things, you'll get a free beer from one of us.
We still have a lot more to talk about, but I put this in the notes about a week or so ago, and we didn't get to it, so you're going to have to remind me, or someone's okay. going to have to remind us in the chat, maybe.
Someone's going to have to remind us.
I got a lot more intel on the Trevor Story City Connect jersey.
Oh, did you?
I got some more intel.
Did you find one at TJ Maxx?
Sierra Trading Post, perhaps? I can't. Look, there's more intel. I spoke with an owner. I'll say that. I spoke with an owner. And Manny.
An owner of Manny's the asking, team or an owner of the jersey?
Owner of the jersey was at a game. I snuck down. We had a conversation. And it's good times. Velo Diesel out on Twitter. One of our great members, Manny. His good friend. So we'll get to that another day. All right. Saturday night, Friday night. Which one was more of an embarrassing loss? Losing 10-1 and the only run you get is against a position player, or the loss on Saturday night when Kyle Freeland is fantastic, maybe gets lifted a little bit early. We can talk about that, but you lose 6-4 and you blow it when you're leading 4-1 with Kyle Freeland on the hill. And his pitch count, not very high. Was there one that was maybe more embarrassing or more frustrating?
I have a definite answer for this. And it was Saturday that was more embarrassing and more frustrating because we had it, you know, the Rockies had the lead and Kyle Freeland was on the mound and he didn't need to come out when he came out, but he did. And like you mentioned, not even a high pitch count. So super frustrating. I was there at the game as a casual fan that night with my family, and they were all like, oh, of course, because, you know, they live in Pasadena, they're Dodgers fans, so they're all like, oh, of course, like, we go to the game where the Dodgers don't win. I'm like, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then it happened. And I then it happened. So it was personally embarrassing for me too.
Well, I think it's how it happened too. Because if you're just listening and you go, you blew a lead, you lost 6-4, you were winning 4-1, but you're playing the Dodgers. Blowing a lead is not, there's nothing embarrassing necessarily about that. Right. Getting blown out and barely scoring a run against a position player, which, I mean, we did kind of call that. We did say, you know, there's going to be stuff about Hanser Alberto being pivotal in this series. He kind of was.
Oh,
all
my point. Gosh, yeah.
Also, to sidetrack, because there's so much to cover, do we have any more intel on Michael Grove? Did we get to the bottom of that, Susie?
No.
You were on a mission to find out more about West Virginia's very own Michael Grove via Thomas Harding.
You know what? I actually forgot to ask Thomas about it. Thomas has so much to say all the time that it's kind of tough to remember the things that you need to say to him. So I didn't get any intel on Mr. Grove.
You got three more opportunities, three more bites at the apple, as it were. And you know what, Susie?
I do, because we are all here for three more games.
That's right. And look, while I don't know directly what it's like to be around someone who it's hard to get a word in edgewise, I do know people, a lot of people in my general circle do know what that's like. So therefore, we will very much give you a pass because Thomas, yes, he can very much like myself, bloviate. But it's okay. You got an opportunity to get to the bottom of this Michael Grove dude. So why was Saturday in particularly so embarrassing? Six walks in an inning, five consecutive walks, three by Denelson Lamet, two by rookie Chad Smith. It's only happened one other time in franchise history, May 18th, 1997. That was actually a good season. They were over 500 that year. Mets won the game at Shea. Rockies were up 4-2, but they ended up getting eight in the bottom of the eighth. So they did a lot more damage with all of those walks. Mike Munoz walked John Olerud. Bruce Ruffin came in and walked Todd Hundley. Ray Ordonez and Manny Alexander. Mike DeJean came in and walked Carl Everett. But it was like, can anybody throw a strike? And that was the comeback. Was just, let's just stand back and let the Rockies have these unforced errors and just give us runs. That you're right. Losing 10-1 is like, that sucks. But you go, it's the Dodgers. It's going to happen. But when you've got victory like in your grasp like that,
yes,
how you lose is, it's painful.
It's like the Rockies were like, just take this game from us. It's just like they handed it to the Dodgers. It was very frustrating. Even, you know what? And it's so funny. This was in the game notes too. Even the home run from Randall Grichuk had kind of a sad side to it. So that was the Rockies' first home run with runners in scoring position on the road. Sorry, yeah, on the road since August 4th.
Almost 2 months ago.
Yeah. So that's exactly almost 2 months.
Would that that would have been a day game on Thursday against San Diego. Why do I have such a great memory? Well, I was there for that one. So I cheated.
Right.
I don't have that Mary Lou Henner disease. All right. A, do you know about this disease? No.
No.
B,
no.
Do you know who Mary Lou Henner is?
No.
I might be dating myself. I also know a lot of weird
things. Am I supposed to know who this is?
She was on Cheers. I think she dated John Travolta. And she has this thing.
Who on
it's
Cheers
not a disease.
Was she? Who on Cheers
no,
was
no,
she?
Not Cheers. I'm sorry. Taxi. Apologies. She was on Taxi.
I was going to say, like, I'm like, I know my Cheers. I know my Cheers Frasier cinematic universe very well.
Technically, you are... I can't remember the name of the actress because you worked at a bar in Boston. So you were the...
Am I Diane?
You're Diane.
I'm not Fraser.
What's his name? What was that actress's name?
I don't remember her name.
Anyway, Mary Lou Henner.
Shelley Long.
There we go. So anyway,
Welcome
Mary Lou Henner.
Welcome to our 90s, 80s sitcom podcast.
Mary Lou Henner can remember every single day of her life. She will tell you what the weather was and what she wore and the outfits. Now, my wife can do outfits, but she can't tell you the weather and all this. Look her up, Mary Lou Henner. We just lost Susie for the next 5 minutes, but don't worry. We've got plenty to talk about while she learns about Mary Lou Henner.
I will be typing this in.
Very,
right now.
Very interesting. So yeah, I would have to agree. Saturday's night's loss was bad. St. Gavin Hollowell, who we have to talk about, who every time he gets put into a game, it is disastrous. He comes in with the bases loaded, I think, to bail out Austin Gomber in his second game ever. His first game ever is in the 10th inning with a runner at second base. Did well to strike out the first two, but gets stuck with the loss there. So that was unfortunate. And the big anomaly of the weekend so far, although I think Daniel Bard really earns the wow type statistic, but this is still also pretty wild. In Joey Gallo's 8-year career, in 748 games, 2,798 plate appearances on Saturday night, he recorded only his third sacrifice fly.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy.
You would think if you walk, hit a homer and strike out. Well, if you're hitting home runs, you're hitting the ball far. So it's like you would think you'd run into a sac fly once in a while.
Yeah.
Nope. Only the third time he's ever done it in his career. I know. That's
good for him.
And he does it against the Rockies. Like, that's kind of how it goes.
That is how it goes. Of course it is.
Ryan McMahon hit his 20th home run of the season. It's his third 20 home run season. It's his third in the last 4 years. Of course, he didn't do it in 2020. I actually looked it up. He's tied for the 12th most amount of seasons with 20 or more home runs. Matt Holliday and Garrett Atkins also had 3 years of 20 or more homers. And at age 27, only five players have actually been able to have more 20 plus home run seasons. Tulo had four 20 plus home run seasons by the age of 26. Story had four by 26. Todd had four by 27, which is how old McMahon is. Cargo had four by 27. Arenado had four by 27. So you look about it in that perspective, no 30 home run seasons, but he's getting to the 20 homer mark. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Poor Gavin Hollowell, though, getting just set up for failure every time they put him out there.
Kind of. He's holding his own, considering, hey, he didn't stop over in AAA. Noah Davis did stop over in AAA, did make a start, finally made his Isotopes debut. Susie, down in LA, is there any rumblings that perhaps Noah Davis might make the start for game 162? Have you heard any rumblings or not?
I have not heard those kind of rumblings. Okay. I have not.
All right. And you're on a fault line. So if anyone's going to hear that,
exactly. Metaphorically and literally, I am on a fault line. But yeah, the starter for that final game of the season is still TBD. When we asked Bud Black, like, oh, it'll be Chad Kuhl, right? He, you know, wasn't really giving us a yes. So I'm going to take that as a no.
All right. So, okay. So that's intel there. So there's rumblings. You felt the rumblings a little bit. It was a tremor more than anything, right?
So I have a feeling who probably won't be pitching. Who knows what's going to happen?
Who won't be pitching? Oh, Chad Kuhl, yes. All right, so it's like TBD, and maybe, just maybe, it'll end up being NDD, which is what Noah Davis's initials are.
What's his middle name?
According to Baseball Reference, it's D. D, period.
What if it's so David? No, with David Davis. Learned,
yeah, he is keeping it top secret, perhaps. Not sure. Unlike Gavin Hollow, who we've learned his middle name is Ernest, if you care about those kind of things, which some people do.
I didn't know that. I can tell you how tall Gavin Hollowell's uncles are, but I can't tell you his middle name.
How tall are his uncles?
Oh, did I not like get into this with you? Okay. Oh, you know what? We mentioned this. Kayla and I were talking about this on a Susie show last week. So I asked Gavin Hollowell. I went up to him when he first got called up. I was like, how tall are your parents? Like, because he's enormous. He's 6'7". So he's like, okay, my dad is about 6'2". And I'm like, I mean, that's pretty tall, but that's not like 6'7" tall, you know? And then he was like, and my mom's like about 5'9", 5'10". I'm like, that's like about my height. That's pretty tall for a woman, but like not exceptionally tall. But he's like, but my mom's brothers, his mom has like three or four brothers. They're all 6'5". So
ooh,
he's got some tall genes going on. And then he just surpassed everyone.
Yes, he does have some tall jeans. Look, you do not want to have tall jeans or any jeans whatsoever if you're part of the Colorado Golf Association, because you want to be dressed nice. And thankfully, if you do join the Colorado Golf Association, coloradogolf.org, and use promo code DNVR5, you can get some great deals from companies such as Imperial Golf Tech, PGA Tour Superstore, and you don't have to worry about wearing tall, short, or even just medium jeans that fit you appropriately, because they're going to hook you up. You're also going to be part of 70,000 golfers in the CGA, and your membership is going to allow you opportunity to play such exclusive courses in the state as Aspen Glen Club, the Pioneer, so much more. Again, head over to coloradogolf.org and use code DNVR5 to get $5 off your membership. And for up to 60% off your tickets to some seriously impressive events, you got to head over to Game Time. Now, they've got their own app, but here's the deal. They're supporting us, and you can help support us, or rather, we're supporting them. You can support us. We can all support each other just by going to the description in our link, or the link in our description. It's been one of those days. Join over the 15 million people who've already downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. Again, hit the link in our description. You can sit on the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate. Susie, I don't know if you've checked out if you're getting some good deals on Dodgers tickets for this. It's the end of the year. I think people maybe are saving their money for the postseason there in LA. It's the Rockies. But we know that in Colorado, at Coors Field, I mean, you could have pretty much gone to the entire 7 straight games and not spent more than $20. So,
yeah, those deals are they're not messing around. I want to look at take a peek at the prices now for the last 3 in LA. Cause also, there's some really good giveaways. There's still like 2 more bobbleheads.
Oh, really? Jeez, they're just emptying out the closet. Well, the cool thing is too, like, especially if you live in Denver or you work in that area and there's an event going on, you can almost like wait to the last minute. I nearly almost went to a concert earlier this year in April where it was like, okay, it's late. We had a late show. It was Sunday. It was like 8 o'clock. The show was starting and I could have gotten seats on Game Time tickets for $3, but it would have meant going by myself. But it was an option. It was an option. I didn't know anybody else who was into the band. And so I'm like, okay, whatever, it is what it is. But you've got that option. If you live near the venue, you can just do that. Rather easily. And it's not summertime, so the traffic has died down too. So you can make those kind of last minute decisions. So it's pretty good.
We have our comments are so weird today. We have got people like asking us football questions.
Eric sleeping with Bieniemy. Okay, maybe. Look. one of the great tweets about CU Buffs football. They just fired their coach Carl Durrell. I mean, Rapids and Rockies are the only two teams really that had a victory in the entire state, pretty much. But hey, the Buffs should not go with in house and get a former alumni to be the head coach. Yes, don't be insular, folks. When you're making important decisions about coaching and your front office, etc., whoever you are, wherever you are, don't be insular. Get some fresh ideas outside of that. So appreciate the comment there, Black Star. And yeah, Will, Todd Hollinsworth, I think he might have even had the answer before we ended up saying it.
He 100% did. So good on Will Carpenter for knowing his stuff, for knowing his long names. I love it. Congratulations, Will.
Yeah, no, he knows his stuff really well. And before we get to some more fun stuff, did just want to take a moment to give a shout out to all of our friends over at Rockspile and Purple Row. If you haven't heard, Rockspile is kind of going away for the time being, but there's still going to be a lot of their Rockies coverage available on Call to the Pen. Kevin Henry, Noah Yingling, they do an absolutely amazing job. We've talked to them a bunch over the years. We hang out with them plenty in the press box. Great people, great human beings. They have great content. So it'll still be out there, just won't be under the general banner of Rockspile. Purple Row, not going away whatsoever. They had a little shakeup in-house with a couple things, but for the most part, that's still going to be another one of those really great hubs for Rockies fans out there. So please support them. They support us. We're all family here in this community in Denver and in the Rockies family. So much love and shout out to Rockspile and to Purple Row for being there for us for all these years and still really doing it going forward.
Well said, Patrick. Yeah, we're all buddies. Even though we're competition, quote unquote, we're not. We are all in this together very much.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Where do you want to go next? I mean,
oh
I figure
gosh.
At some point, I figure out at some point we should talk about, because you threw this out there, should we discuss if we need to have a postseason team to root for as the
okay,
podcast with Rocky fans, either officially or unofficially?
Someone on our account already tweeted out, we should be a Mariners blog for the postseason.
Ooh.
We should be a Mariners podcast for the postseason. I don't know who tweeted it.
one of the at least 7.5 people I can think of off the top of my head could have done it. Well, you know, the Mariners have always been, you know, seen as somewhat like of an AL Rockies. Again, haven't been to the postseason since 2001. I think this is only their sixth postseason appearance. They've been around since, 1979? So, like, they've been around for forever, so they haven't had a lot of great luck. They've had a lot of great stars, much like the Rockies have had their share of superstar players over the years that may not have finished their career in those team colors. So that does seem like a natural fit. We'll have to look at some of the other team. I know last year in the World Series was tough because a lot of people didn't want to root for Atlanta. Those that might be very socially conscious and pull for a team down there until they perhaps change their names to the Atlanta Hammers, which would be an awesome name. But some people wanted to root for him because of Tyler Matzik, former Rocky player there. You also had Eric Young Sr. You had Walt Weiss on the coaching staff, Sal Fasano. I might even be missing someone else. Dansby Swanson was drafted by the team a while back before he went to Vanderbilt, but they were never really going to truly sign him. He's married to Mallory Pugh from the state of Colorado, great Team USA soccer player. So, you know, once we got to the World Series, it was kind of hard to go one way or the other, but I would be in favor of that. We should just figure out how we are going to decide. Maybe we need to dive into each team to see what are the merits. Like, why would we want to and why would we not? And it's like, the Yankees are almost easy. You go, they're the Yankees. We're not going to root for them.
Yeah. All right. It sounds like we're going to have to dedicate a whole show to debating which teams we're going to support in the postseason. And here I thought it was just like the clear answer was the Mariners.
It may be, but that's the thing. That's part of
that's why we debate it.
That's why we've got 5 shows a week for 6 months in the off season when there's no Rockies games. You know what I mean? Or when they've got a 7-game losing streak and the season is all but over. Hey, this is why we get paid to do what we do, being creative and whatnot. But I know you're plenty creative out there in LA and you've got all kinds of wonderful things going on. Tell me all about it.
Oh my gosh, it's been such a fun trip, regardless of the outcome of a lot of these games. But I want to tell you about a quirky thing that we've been doing every single day. And of course, Thomas Harding is behind it, writer for MLB.com. So of course, everyone listening to this podcast has seen his stuff, but he is a very quirky man. So when you're heading to, have you been to the press box at Dodger Stadium?
Never. I once went to Dodger Stadium in the off season and did not realize it was this ring that sits up on a hill and you can't even see the ballpark because it's surrounded by the parking lot. But I didn't feel too bad for making the drive out there because I was there on Christmas Day and I drove everywhere around the city by 11 a.m. with zero traffic, totally spoiled. I can never go back ever again because we did whatever the hell we wanted to, but it was also Christmas morning. So
that is really funny. So to answer my question, no, you have not been to the press box at Dodger Stadium.
5 minutes later. Oh, the answer is
Later. Oh, great. Thank you for answering my question. So when you're walking to the visitors clubhouse, Dodger Stadium is a maze inside of there. It's so difficult to navigate. So I was following Thomas down to the visitors clubhouse and there's an eagle on the wall, painted on the wall, like the National League logo eagle painted on the wall. And Thomas is like, you have to touch the eagle because the eagle watches over us. He goes on this whole thing about how the eagle's watching over us, but I took a video of me touching the eagle so I could, you know, make sure he knew the kill. You just gotta tap it when you walk by.
That's good luck. Wait, did you do that today or did you do that Friday?
I don't know. You don't just do it today. You do it every single time you walk past the eagle. So it's like a whole thing.
When did you film that though?
I filmed that today.
Okay. So when you touch the eagle and film it, your team wins. So you can't just touch it. You also have to film it. Come on. Oh, you following the through line here?
Okay, I'm following. Yeah.
You know what? I might need to solve some murders because I am so good at these kind of connections and interconnected tissue. So it's on you, Susie. If you want them to finish out with four wins, and that would put them at the over of 68.5. We've given up on the hunt, but maybe, just maybe, this missing person after all.
Maybe I haven't given up on the hunt. Yeah, if they win the rest of these games, if they go undefeated for the remainder of their time in Los Angeles, the Rockies will have 69 wins. So that would be pretty exciting.
I just gotta film it.
Do you wanna talk about some gossip that I heard?
Ooh, yes, always.
All right.
Dish. Spill the tea.
We're gonna start with some nicknames, okay? Because there's some interesting nicknames, but maybe these are true, maybe these are false. Patrick, did you know that Tyler Anderson, former Rocky, current Dodger, started today? Tyler Anderson, nickname, Mr. Duck. Is that real?
Yes. He went to the University of Oregon. So I know that he's from Las Vegas. And so I'm going to say, yeah, that's, I don't know if it's exactly that. I don't know if I've heard that, but I think that probably is true. Yes.
It actually, according to his baseball reference page. Yes. It's Mr. Duck.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of those Oregon guys out there.
One of those Oregon guys. How about Joey Gallo? Joey Gallo, nickname Pico de Gallo.
I want that to be so true. That also feels right, too. I'm going to say, yeah, I got nothing to add to it other than, yeah, I think that, yeah, I'm down with that.
It's true, yeah.
Oh, I like this,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, these are all related to food as well. You can eat duck.
You know, I wasn't thinking about a duck as food because I love ducks. I would never eat one.
Yeah, don't tell me. I wouldn't either.
Oh yeah, of course. How about Will Smith, the Fresh Prince? Is that real?
Which one? Will?
Well, the
D.
Will Smith,
Smith
that was at the same ballpark that I was at. Will D. Smith. Yes.
I think he goes by D, right? Like I don't have that down in memory. I think I just happened to see that today where it said Smith, WD. So if we're talking about D, I'll say, yeah. I mean, anyone whose name Will Smith probably should have that thrown in there somewhere, even if it's like your third or fourth string nickname. So, okay, I'll go along with that.
You know what? We can't confirm that that's a nickname or not. The only nickname we can confirm is Smitty. So that was a rumor and you fell for it.
Ooh, I did. Hard.
How about for Michael Tolia and Ezekiel Tovar, Big Toe and Little Toe?
Okay. I think that is, I don't know how official. If you're going baseball reference, I'm going to say that's probably not up there just yet. But in-house, I'm going to say yeah, because I think I saw that on the game notes recently where it said Little Toe, and I just thought Toe because he's Tovar. I didn't realize, oh, yeah, there's a Big Toe. I called him Toto, right? I was like, we got to have some wordplay with Tolia and Tovar. They're mm-hmm. Toto. So I'm going to say yeah, that I like that.
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
It is true. So some people, I guess, have been calling Michael Tolia, who is a very tall man, and Ezekiel Tovar, who is still very young and very much looks like a young guy, Big Toe, Little Toe.
Wait a minute. So to be clear, Michael Tolia, Big Toe equals Big Toe. So he's Big Toe. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Tovar, Little Toe equals Pinky Toe.
Yeah.
Which means he should go by Pinky.
Maybe.
Do you like that? I mean, Jonathan Daza is Pinky because he goes pink. He's got pink in all his different gear.
Yeah. You know what?
I think
Big Toe, Little Toe's just got a really cute ring to it. So,
did I possibly overthink that one? Couldn't be. I hope you got more.
Couldn't be. All right. So I got a couple of other things that I've heard around here and there. The Cincinnati Bengals have a play called Votto. Patrick, is that true?
I have no idea, but I hope that is true. Do football players know anything about baseball? Do they acknowledge baseball as a sport? So in a weird way, I'm going to say no. No, I don't think they do. No, because football players are like, who's Votto? I don't know what that is. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to go no.
Wow. No. Okay. So you were totally wrong. This is true. Okay, you have to remember Joey Votto is beloved in Cincinnati. So his fellow athletes, his peers, are named after him. Yeah.
That warms the cockles of my heart. I'm actually glad about that. I'm glad I'm wrong.
Yeah. Patrick,
what is the play, by the way? What Is it an option? Got three wide. Are we flanking? Is the tight end in motion? I sound like I know what I'm talking about with football.
Yeah, I'm not the one to ask. So you're going to have to Google it yourself. Maybe Google this, but after I ask you. David Ross booed Kyle Schwarber when he came to the plate when the Cubs were playing the Phillies. Patrick, is that true?
Whoa. Well,
did
you know
David Ross boo a former Cub?
I'm going to say no, because, you know, he's a manager. He's got to be a nice guy. Also, you know, the Schwarber should be booing David Ross because the Cubs swept the Phillies and really put a dent in the back end of their season. So I'm going to say no. I don't think he did that. I'd be shocked to find out.
You know what? It's actually true, but asterisk, it was all in good fun. It was all just a joke. And actually, Schwarber did it back to Rossi too. So
still, just to have fun to do that is, we live in that world now. That's great. That's a good thing that we've got that kind of camaraderie or something. So, all right, good.
Baseball is fun. We're keeping baseball fun. All right, I got one more piece of gossip. Did you hear that Chichi Gonzalez, old friend, was seen wearing pinstripes today? Patrick, is that true?
Wow, pinstripes. Well, the Rockies don't have a road uniform. They don't have road pinstripes anymore. They did retire that. He's also not on the roster.
He's also not a Rocky.
I mean, that's also kind of an important detail.
I'd say that's the bigger detail in this conversation.
No, I think it's more the wardrobe. I start with a wardrobe and go, is that even an option? I did hear about this. I don't know how well he did, but dish the dirt on Chichi.
Chichi Gonzalez is a Yankee now.
For a minute, at least.
Wild. So we'll see how this goes. But he did strike out 3 in his first start in the Bronx. So good for our old friend, Chichi Gonzalez. And that's all the gossip I got.
That's good. That's good stuff. I mean, because I'm sure
of the things that I said were true.
That's right. Yeah. I think a lot of people would be surprised. Like, okay, we know the Yankees were ransacking the Rockies for a while there. With Mike Tauchman, DJ LeMahieu, Adam Ottavino, Chad Bettis, who didn't make the roster. Chris Iannetta didn't make the roster, but you had all of these. Tommy Canley was there. And you go, they wouldn't do Chichi Gonzalez. They wouldn't raid the former Rockies. You wouldn't do it for that guy. But yeah. 4 2/3 innings pitch, only gave up one earned run. So he got a no decision there. The Orioles did win that game over the Yankees, but it was not because of Mr. Chichi Gonzalez. So
not because Mr. Alex. Chichi.
Alex.
Yes, his name is Alex.
Chichi Gonzalez. And there's like 15 other Alex Gonzalez's.
So
I'm glad he goes by the Chichi. So, okay. Good for him. Yeah, and good for us. Because we're going to do this again. A pregame show. Refresh my memory on Tuesday.
We're going to do a pregame show on Tuesday. And is it noon Mountain Time? I'm still in this time zone, so I don't know what time anything is happening. I just wait for a text saying, hey, Suze, you gonna come on the show or what?
The real question is it 12 MDT or MST? Oh, God.
It's MDT because we're in daylight savings time.
We do. We subscribe. Which I only learned about that recently. I mean, not that part, but the MDT versus MST, because we're about in standard time, but we don't actually, but I guess Arizona goes by the standard. I don't know. The D has always existed there, but I don't think it's really been used all that much in the past to differentiate between the different locations.
And this is not
how I wanted to end the show.
I hate going to Arizona because you never know what freaking time zone you're in. It's so frustrating. And I'm glad we're talked about this. We'll do a whole episode on this in the off season, which is rapidly approaching. But until then, we're gonna talk to you guys about baseball that's still happening on Tuesday.
You sounded like you were ready to wrap things up. I was wanting to give you the floor to have the whole spiel and do the whole thing.
No, I'm ready to wrap it up. I want to go get dinner. I'm in LA. Like, I don't want to be sitting in this basement all night.
That's true. Well, you helped give us a lot of momentum there at the end and saved us from the MDT, MST conversation. And you could get more wonderful banter on that on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies, @ Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you can find me on all platforms @ The Susie Hunter.
This has been great. Can't wait to chop it up again. Noon Colorado time. There you go. That's a safe way of putting it. Noon, 12 p.m. Colorado time on Tuesday for a pregame. We got to wrap up the season on Wednesday. We'll do that. We'll talk with Drew Goodman. Susie's going to have some great guests this week, too. Another wonderful week lined up. But hey, you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you Tuesday.